Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast. Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? Ew, seriously. They squeeze the grease out of the wool and process it with chemicals, and then you eat it. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I got rid of products I didn't want anywhere near my body. I found that many multivitamins contain high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and even lacked some of the nutrients we actually needed. So what did I do? At 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. Ritual's products are made traceable, meaning we share the science and sourcing for every single ingredient. For example, our vegan vitamin D3 comes from sustainably harvested lichen in Nottingham, England, not sheep. We trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. See for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Good afternoon to you on the Nikki Medoro Show. I'm Kim McAllister, filling in for Nikki. Nikki's daughter in the hospital. They're supposed to be getting out of the hospital today. So all that is going on. Nikki may check in with us, or she may be too busy today. We will see. But I appreciate already in the chat room such good wishes for Nikki and her daughter Marley, who is suffering from Crohn's disease and trying to figure everything out and get a little bit better. So thank you for that. I'm going to count on you guys a lot today because there's some really fun topics or interesting topics, and I would love to get your opinions on everything. We have Clark Reed coming back to talk some tech today. He says there's some big things going on. Mark Curtis, formerly of KTBU, now living on the East Coast, still doing reporting and also has written some books about politics and a great political commentator. So we'll talk to him as well. Thank you for being here. And as always, we start the show with a big old wet sloppy kiss for our founding sponsor, Steve Moskowitz. I don't know if he wants that kiss, but I'm giving it to him until he tells me otherwise. Steve Moskowitz is so amazing for anyone who's got maybe financial issues, tax issues. Of course, he is a tax attorney and a CPA. Also, though, he does a lot of other things. So if you're setting up a business, if you need HR advice, or if you need a business plan, or if you're looking at insurance and what type of insurance to offer to your employees, he can help you with all of that. So it's 888-TAX-DEAL. It's MoskowitzLLP.com. And we're very grateful and honored, actually, to have his support. So thank you for that. So let's get right to it. Oh, I should probably mention also, please click the like button. If you can do that, it means a lot. Just click the little likey, clickety, clickety. And also, if you feel so moved to donate, I'll let you know that you can do so by going to the NikkiMedoroShow.com, and you'll see the Patreon button right there. Also, if PayPal is more your jam. You can do that too. TheNickiMedoroShow@gmail.com is our address. And the Super Chat is live here on YouTube, and we always appreciate it. So I won't hit it too hard, but I will tell you, thank you very much. We appreciate all the ways that you help. We appreciate you just being here. So thank you for that as well. But I do want to talk to you. And Clark, I know you're here to talk tech. I'm going to bring you in. I love you. Oh, I get to see you today.
Hello. Yeah, I got to putz around and figured out what the computer is doing and got my camera working. So we're good. So
welcome aboard, sir.
Thank you.
So I actually first, before we get to tech, I have this story that I wanted to talk about because it's a doozy.
Reflection's crazy. Let me take these off. There.
Oh, your glasses are crazy? Okay.
Well, yeah, the light's reflecting off of them.
I thought I put a picture of it in, but I was asking Mark the same question. Mm-hmm. Have you ever consumed the juice, the Simply juice? We used to buy the Simply lemonade, but here's what it looks like. Branding, the Simply orange juice.
No, I've seen it in the store, but no, I haven't ever tried that.
They have Simply lemonade. They have a lot of juices, and it's supposed to be healthy, all natural. Right? Simply orange juice, implying that that's simply all it is. Mm-hmm. But apparently, no. So there's a new class action lawsuit being filed. This Simply brand is made by Coca-Cola. Oh, and I should also mention Clark Reed is an attorney, so we'll have that as well.
I like to consider myself a recovering attorney, but yeah.
So the class action suit against Coca-Cola, which makes the Simply brand, alleges that it deceived customers with claims of an all-natural healthy product when the juice has been found to be contaminated with toxic PFAS levels at hundreds of times above the federal advisory limits for drinking water. So PFAS apparently is in a class with about 12,000 chemicals that are used to make consumer products resist water stains and heat, that type of thing. They're called forever chemicals because they don't naturally break down, and they're linked to cancer and fetal complications and liver disease. The list goes on and on about health stuff that they're linked to. Researchers apparently finding contaminated food to be more of a risk than previously thought. The FDA apparently taking little action to do all this stuff. It tests some products yearly, but apparently, according to some, has developed a methodology ignoring what public health advocates say are dangerous levels of PFAS. They say the FDA is falling behind on the testing. And so you're probably going to keep seeing more lawsuits like this. This suit against Coca-Cola filed in the New York area, asking a judge for monetary compensation and to take other appropriate steps. But I mean, I think that's really, you know, people need to know what they're putting into their body, what they're doing.
You want to, I'm sorry, but the fresh orange juice that you're drinking is generally not fresh anyway, particularly if it's out of season and they can't grow oranges in Florida or California this time of year. It comes from South America and they put it in big stainless steel tanks and sits there for a year. So it isn't fresh anyway.
Yeah,
I mean, the whole thing's kind of scammy. So but I think they probably got, you know, if they're calling this extra fresh and, you know, filtered and completely pure and it's not, Coca-Cola is going to pay out some cash.
I feel duped. Honestly, I feel duped when you say it's all natural and then come to find out I'm drinking a forever chemical.
Mm-hmm.
I feel That's really not right.
Been sitting there fermenting for a year in a stainless steel tank too.
I don't know.
Lovely.
Yeah, I just so I wanted to bring that story up because I want people to know that that's going on and I want people to be aware. Go ahead.
I was going to say you were talking about the environment a little while ago on Mark's show, and actually I had a kind of an environmental story on my tech report today.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
That is NASA has given $400 and some million to Boeing to produce a super fuel efficient aircraft, and they're working on several different varieties. One of them has super thin wings, and then it has struts, kind of like if you've ever seen a small Cessna, a Cessna 180 or that kind of thing that has the struts from the bottom of the fuselage up to the wings. The mock-up looks kind of like that, but apparently it's 30% more fuel efficient. And if it's successful in the next 5 years, then they're going to give another $300 million to Boeing to continue with their proof of concept. The thing is, we can't really do much with electric planes like we can EVs and electric trucks because the damn batteries weigh too much. You can't carry any people or payload because of the weight of the batteries. So they have to use fuel. Another fuel that's great for flying, but they're not really working on, and that's hydrogen. Because it's, you know, a gas and lighter in there. But I think since the Hindenburg blew up back in World War II,
not so much.
Nobody's very excited about flying with hydrogen. So
but it's I thought that they were working on or actually are already using the vegetable oil base.
Yes, they are. Yeah. In fact, the Air Force kind of started that because they wanted something that was sustainable. And in case we got cut off in the case of a war from, you know, this is before the U.S. started pumping more oil and they were concerned about having enough fuel. So, yeah, they've been doing that for a while.
So since you're talking tech, I don't know what else you've got, but let's just start the tech segment.
Okay.
I can find a cute name for it. Tech Talk is already used. Clark Tech. I'll come up with something.
Clark Tech. Oh, God.
Well, that's not very good.
At any rate, I do have a little piece of kind of, it looks like good news. It's a rumor till it happens, but we've talked a lot about Samsung. There's always a continuous drip of leaks right before a product launch, and their new S23 phones are coming out the first of the month. And so there's been a lot of rumors that they're going to raise the prices $100 or more per handset. And somebody got a hold of a Verizon tech handout, and it looks like they're holding the prices. So that's some kind of good news. So the cheapest one is, let me see here, where the bottom line S23, $799.99, and then the Plus is $999.99. And then the Ultra is $1,199.99, so same as last year, and that's kind of a good thing, I think. And I kind of had a rant about the $99.99 thing. The tech people and used cars, they seem to think this fools us that it's cheaper than $1,000. It's like, oh, come on! You know, we may not be mathematical geniuses, but we know that $999.99 is a grand. So stop it. So there's that. Another thing I did have a story about that is Amazon. You may have read this elsewhere, but they're killing off Amazon Smile in less than a month.
Why?
And to save money, I think. And they say it hasn't. Well, they say it hasn't had the impact we expected. Well, they've given $400 million through Smile since 2013. So that's a pretty good impact. But
yeah, that's the where like 2% of your purchase goes to the charity of your choice.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And I've been doing it for the California Historical Radio Society, which support, you know, and that's a kind of a painless way to give them money and all of that. Well, they're laying these people off, which is a tiny number compared to the 18,000 they're already laying off. But it just sucks that they're cutting this program and keeping that 0.5% they've been donating. I mean, it just, you know, just smells bad, I think. I'm not very happy about that.
Yeah, I wonder if an outcry from the public would make a difference on that.
Because
I don't know if you know this, but a lot of schools count on that funding.
Yes.
I mean, it's never a lot, but it's maybe $500-$600 a year for most PTA organizations that get that money. But every cent counts. So, you know, it's kind of a bummer.
But it just really sucks that they're doing that. And former Amazon CEO Bezos is visiting the Washington Post today. He said, just for a listening thing, he wasn't going to answer any questions, but people are kind of concerned now that he's going to, you know, pull the plug on his money out of the WAPO too, which would really be terrible. I don't know if that's going to happen or that's just, you know, but that's some speculation that's going around. And one other thing, a piece of good news, how about some good news instead of, you know, is that Moderna is going to apply the government in the next few months to get their new RSV respiratory virus, their vaccine certified. Vaccine. It's apparently 84% effective for older people against the virus. And of course, that's little kids and older people that it really kills, basically.
And RSV is awful. My son had it when he was little. And it's when you hear your kids struggling to breathe, it's like a punch to the gut.
Oh, yeah. I have a friend back in the Midwest who were chatting about this online earlier. And he said, man, I had that stuff. And he said, you know, he didn't have COVID. He had the RSV, but he said that hung on for about 8 weeks. Ooh. And he had to go on meds. He said it was terrible. And then I know another fellow that makes really high-end trumpets, like for Wynton Marsalis, made them for Maynard Ferguson. I mean, $30,000 instruments. These are crazy expensive, handmade, beautiful. And David's been posting online, said, well, I said, I'm going to be, you know, play testing these again as soon as I can. But he said, I don't have enough breath. I had this RSV. Oh. And he said, I can't take that deep breath to, you know, play the horn yet, but he's gotten better. He thinks another week or two he'll be able to play again. But that's
you
really
play the horn, right?
Yeah, I majored in trumpet in college, so
you have a trumpet sitting nearby. Will you play for us?
No, but I could show you one real quick. I mean,
you won't play
it
for
warmed
me.
Up. No.
Oh, Clark
hold on a second. I will show it to you. Give me.
Wanting to hear you play for a long time. He can't hear me. He's really good. Like orchestras, he's been in bands, he's performed in. He's a pro. This is Clark Reed is a pro, a professional musician. Oh, here it comes. Look at that.
Malfunction. Just a second here.
Okay.
You know, the problem with these, Kim, is that they're really loud.
Okay. I mean, that was awesome. It didn't sound too loud, by the way. It sounds great. I was telling everyone, though, that you really are a professional musician. You've performed in
kind of was. I mean, I
bands and
I mainly played jazz, but I did play in this little chamber orchestra for five seasons.
Yeah.
Played principal trumpet. My wife at the time, as we say, was the concert master. So we had a lot of fun playing in the orchestra. And I played in my best friend's big band for about 18 years before I moved to California.
That's
and it
awesome.
Was great fun. But he unfortunately passed away early, but he was a genius. He sang with the Four Freshmen on the road for a year, and I fronted his band back home. And then he was music director for a show called The Dick Curtis Show that ran in Washington and Oregon for, I think, 3 or 4 years on TV.
Do you think it was your love of music, of being a performer, that led you to get into music radio?
Well, they were interconnected for sure. Yeah. I mean, I liked the radio thing from the time I was a little kid, but I started playing that, not that horn, but an old beat up one when I was, you know, in fourth grade. So I mean, I kind of did them in parallel, and I felt like interacted pretty well with each other. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, thank you for humoring me. I've always wanted to hear you play, so I just got a little taste. Okay, so back to tech, because we were talking yesterday about the auction at Twitter, and there's a new story today that says the statue of the Twitter bird
brought over $100,000, didn't it?
Yeah, $100,000.
Crazy.
This is a 4 feet. He's 4 foot tall, blue statue of the iconic Twitter bird goes for $100,000 yesterday, and just
brought more than the sign.
Items. Why are they selling the bird? Like, why would they do that? No. I think it's because the company's going to shut down.
There's another rumor that just came out, and apparently more layoffs are on the way.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And in the meantime,
like, who's left to lay off?
Yeah. And the janitors are picketing because he laid off the union janitors, and God, people are having to bring their own toilet paper and stuff. And the place must be filthy at this point. And I work for a company that happened to. And this is way before you and I worked at a traffic company. This was a traffic company back in 1989 that went out of business a long time ago, and they were having money problems, and garbage and bags was piling up in the break room because they couldn't afford the jet. And then the biggest station, which we'll call Station Y because it wasn't ours, it wasn't Station X, but big talk station in San Francisco, everyone will know what it was. They had to send a guy over with a check to pay the fixed base operator for the gasoline for the airplanes because they hadn't paid the goddamn gasoline bill to fly the planes. It was a train wreck. And then they bounced our checks right before Christmas. Unbelievable.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was just. And so I can imagine what these poor people who managed to stay around at Twitter are going through. That can't be fun.
What does that mean for a company, though, when you have a skeleton crew already and people are now under the threat of layoff again, when there's no one really left to lay off?
And apparently, and, In Singapore, they escorted them out of the building because they hadn't paid the rent there. They escorted all the people out and kicked them out of the building.
They're not paying rent on any of their offices because of allegedly trying to renegotiate. They feel like if they don't pay, that's going to somehow kickstart that process.
Being a billionaire doesn't mean you get to reform the contract, Elon. I'm sorry. It just doesn't work like that.
They're selling off everything, including the company logo. They're not emptying the garbage or cleaning the office.
The coffee makers. They're selling the coffee makers.
So what does it mean? And what does it mean? Does it mean it's going to shut down? Does it mean that?
I don't know.
I don't know what it means for Twitter.
If it does shut down, or if, you know, he has to, you know, bail out of it, I think somebody will pick it up in some way. I don't know if everyone will migrate from there to another. I'm on post.news and, you know, a couple others and just kind of hedging my bets to see what actually survives. But
I'm just flabbergasted because I don't know why you would pay $44 billion for a company and then gut it.
I don't know. I think that the one thing about this is that it now conclusively proves that billionaires aren't the great geniuses that they've made themselves out to be. It's like, this is not, and I think for Elon Musk, and this is an opinion that's fairly widely shared, he's kind of on the clock as far as doing something, because a lot of people are really hacked off, a lot of investors and stockholders about him ignoring Tesla, which is the only one of the businesses that really makes money.
Right.
And now with all of the other companies making electric cars, their market shares dropped. Heck, they just cut the price on the top Model Y by $20,000, and on the one of the cheaper model, I think it was a model, the Model X didn't get any cut, and neither did the Model S. But
I don't know why they're cutting prices when it seems like you can't get a Tesla without putting your name on a waiting list.
Because they've lost about 10% market share with, you know, GM and Ford, and, you know, GM has the little Bolt, and Ford has their Mustang and their trucks, and they're sold out. You can't get a Bolt for like 6 months. I mean, they have a waiting list. And then BMW, Mercedes, Volkswagen. I've seen several ID4s, you know, on the Bay Bridge on the way into the city, and they're getting into his trousers.
You know, what I've seen a lot of lately, which is interesting, because I've heard of the company, but I'd never seen one. And all of a sudden I'm seeing them everywhere is Rivian.
The Rivians. Yeah, I've seen some of those. And also I saw a Lucid in the wild, which is a beautiful car. It's a really high end car. They're $180,000 or something, but it's a gorgeous car.
The name of the company is Lucid?
Yeah, Lucid. Okay. The Lucid Air. The Air is the model.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
But it's a beautiful car, man. It's just gorgeous, but it's pricey. And all of them claim they'll be making cheaper stuff. But really, the only one that's making a halfway inexpensive car right now is General Motors with the Bolt EUV, which with the rebates gets down under $30,000. And that's, you know, that's more of a price of, you know, with the general market instead of being 40, 50 grand and all that. There's Lucid.
That's the Lucid Air.
Lucid Air.
I have never seen one of those, but that really is a pretty car.
I've seen one in the wild so far, and it's just beautiful. Wow.
Wow. $180,000 for that car?
Yeah.
That car?
Yeah.
Eesh.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
That's interesting.
Yep. Yeah. Well, you got to go after the rich people first because they have the money.
Nick says Rivian's in trouble as well. I didn't know
that. They have been struggling a little bit. But however, they may be okay because they just delivered the first batch of vans to Amazon.
Yeah.
And in fact, I guess I can name him, our old IT engineer at Station X, Andrew.
Yeah,
he lives over in Pleasant Hill, and he saw one in the wild the other day on his streets, and he shot a couple of pictures and posted them on Facebook.
I saw that too. Yeah, a Rivian Amazon van.
Yeah, so that's probably the only things can keep Rivian, you know, alive is their Amazon contract.
So you have Heather saying Rivians are really ugly.
Yes,
but you know what?
I would agree, but they're interesting looking.
They're interesting, but they're also what we need, right? They're electric vehicles, and in California, you're only going to be able, what is it, 2030?
2035.
You're going to buy a new car, it's going to have to be electric. You can buy a used car that's gas powered, right?
And you heard about Wyoming?
No.
Are they following suit? They introduced a bill in Wyoming to ban the sale of new electric vehicles after 2035 in response to California and New York, which is just like, well, we're an oil, you know, place. Oil's so big here. And the thing that's foolish is they have one county in Wyoming that is like the fourth biggest wind farm in the United States. So they already have all energy. You know, it's
come on, guys. That's just, they're trying to slap California. Yeah. They're trying to start something, you know. I hear
But it just cracked me up when they did that. I go, oh, come on, guys.
States like that love to hate on California.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody does it. And everybody wants to be here. It's like everybody wants to be us.
John Slade has an opinion on Twitter. He says Musk lost about $150 billion because of his antics with Twitter. I think he'll sell it before the year is out. Sell what? What's going to be left to sell, though, John?
Yeah, but he's going to, I mean, the last I looked, which has been, you know, several weeks ago, the valuation of the damn thing was like $8 billion down from the 44 that he paid. So, I mean, he's going to take not just a haircut. He's going to get a whole body shave on this sucker because, man, there's no money left. You know, he's just
the image of that is gross.
He's destroyed it. I mean, it's just a mess. And I think maybe Twitter, to you or I or people in the media and in government and what have you, use Twitter, and it's more important to us than it is maybe to the general public. But
Randy says California will never be ready for the only EV mandate in 2035.
Okay.
We have to have infrastructure. We have to have, you know, places to plug all these vehicles in. If we're really going to do that, he's right. We have to fix it.
And the car makers
are doing outages, you know, that when we had no power and we had faced blackouts, then what?
Yeah.
So Randy's got a point. And
I know that Ford and General Motors and Mercedes-Benz are all building their own EV charging stations. They're all throwing in on that. In addition to the ones the government's building, and in addition to the Tesla superchargers and the rest. So, you know, we may get there, but it's going to be a push. It'll be difficult. Well,
and not only the charging stations, but also the power grid in California.
Yeah.
You know, I really do worry that in times where we've got 100-degree weather in the summer and there's rolling blackouts, or we're being told, oh, don't plug your electric vehicle in after 4 p.m. and don't do
this. But if you're working from home and that's the case and you have a Ford truck, you're in luck, because you can plug that devil in and you can run your house for 3 days off of your truck, which I think is a great idea.
Is why my husband put his name on the waiting list to get one of those Ford electric vehicles.
Yeah.
And then we found out that if you try to tow something with it,
it
like zaps out within, you know, the first hour.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's not
the battery pack probably overheats. I mean, I have a thing because I work from home for a couple of years. Well, here's one of them. I have several large backup, you know, batteries that I could do an entire air shift, you know, with no electricity. As the cellular site works. Yeah. But I looked at one the other day that would run all of that plus my fridge. You know, it's much bigger, but I've thought about that after we had a blackout here because during the rain, some idiot was drunk and hit the phone pole. All of our electric is underground, but there's a phone pole or electric pole that takes the high voltage stuff and brings it down and runs it to the underground lines. And so we were without power for a day. Well, the power company frantically, you know, worked to put this all back together again and everything.
And so then you're without power in your house and you can't go anywhere because your car is dead. Yep. So I think it needs to be thought through, and 2035 seems awfully close.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, Randy, he may have a point, honestly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, they may have to, you know, push that back a little bit, but it's good to have that as a goal, man, because I mean, we've got to do something. And especially with the tundra in like the north of Russia and Siberia and some of those places, with that stuff melting, it's releasing methane gas, which is 20 times worse than carbon monoxide for the atmosphere. And so we're on a timer. We've got to get this done.
Yeah, I think so. We got all environmental during this show.
Yeah, we got clear off the track from tech to the environment, but they're somewhat interconnected, I think.
Trying to find the story that I had earlier put in the rundown, but there is a new story about Marie Osmond. I don't know if you had heard this one. She is saying that she is not going to leave her kids anything.
Oh, yeah. I read that.
Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
She says that when you leave your kids money and give them money, they turn into lazy people who are not then motivated to give back to society, to do anything, to be working, contributing members. Mm-hmm. And so she says she's going to leave them nothing. Nothing. Wow.
I mean, I'm spending my kids' inheritance, so they're on their own. But, you know, and I know that some of the real super billionaires and everything have, some of them have come out and said, I was trying to think, who was it that, oh my gosh, the guy from Berkshire Hathaway, and his name is escaping me, friend of Bill Gates, and I think Gates may be doing this too, leaving all of their money, giving it all away except for maybe, you know, $500 million to go to the kids, which is a ton of money. I mean, you could never, you know, spend your way out of that unless you're Elon Musk. So,
right.
I mean, but this thing that I read about the Osmonds did make me kind of snicker, because I'm guessing, you know, when the kids were all little and they had the Osmond brothers and everything, they had hit records and Donnie, they were all younger. I would bet Grandma and Grandpa Osmond already set up trust funds for her kids.
Warren Buffett, I think, is the name.
Warren Buffett.
For.
Yeah, I was having a brain fart. I couldn't remember.
I did too. And then John Daly just texted me. I was like, "Warren Buffett."
But that when I first saw this, you know, about you know her not leaving anything to the kids, I'm going, "Oh, Marie, your mom and dad, you know, left them millions. I bet." I'm sure they did a generation skipping crest. I mean, come on, because you know Donnie and Marie, you know, they've made enough on their own. They didn't need anything from mom and dad. So I would bet money that that's what they did.
You would think so. And I understand that. I think she's can be right about you know, when a kid grows up with money, when they're given and handed everything, then maybe they're not motivated to, you know, do something amazing.
Well, you could do something amazing and not make money, though. I had a very rich great uncle invented the electric fence, retired at 30. And, you know, all of that. His son became a chess grandmaster and kind of a semi-expert in mushrooms. So he kind of, you know, didn't do a whole lot. But the daughter was a professional student, went all the way through, got a PhD in art history. But she became the assistant curator of a museum in Florence, Italy, and then back in Philadelphia, curator of an art museum. So she actually did something with her life with all of that dough.
And I think that it's not an all or nothing situation, but I can see what Marie is saying. Her quote is, honestly, why would you enable your child to not try to be something? I don't know, she says, anyone who becomes anything if they're just handed money. And she's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 children.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know. I mean, I think if I'm one of those seven children, I'm pissed. I'm like, what do you mean you're not going to leave it to me?
I don't know.
I mean, I guess there's something nice and
but you could do that. You could set up, you know, a small trust for the kids, you know, that was not a crazy amount of money, and then make a charitable trust to, you know, put the money you're going to donate to whatever charities that, you know, are close to your heart. And a lot of people do that, too. So, I mean, it's not, you know, you don't just have to cut them off. I think that's harsh, but I get the point.
She also says, it's one of my rules with my kids. If you start it, you finish it. You never have to do it again, but you've got to finish. And she said, I just think all an inheritance does is breed laziness and entitlement. I worked hard. I'm going to spend it all. I'm going to have fun with my husband and probably give it away to charity, I guess, if there's anything left in the end. So
I'm trying to remember who it was. I think it was one of the former LA Lakers. The great player, and I can't remember which one it was, but, you know, made a basket of money. And he said, I tell my kids all the time when they say, hey, we're rich. And he says, no, he said, I'm rich.
That's true.
Don't count on it. So don't count on the money. Yeah.
She also referenced Kirk Douglas, mm-hmm. who, when he died, gave all of his money to charity instead of to his children as well. I mean, I think his children
were already millionaires.
Money of their own, right. Exactly.
And Michael Douglas was very successful and made a ton of money already. So that's kind of, yeah. And also, one difference, I mean, the Osmonds weren't, you know, rich before the kids started singing and everything. But I mean, Douglas, he was dirt poor growing up. Mm-hmm. Kirk Douglas did not grow up, you know, around money. I mean, he was, he wrote a book called the rag maker's son or the rag keeper's son. His dad, you know, like made clothing and this kind of thing. He was a poor Jewish guy. He did not grow up wealthy at all, you know, and the Osmond kids, by the time, you know, Donnie and Marie were like into grade school, were rich.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, just from the Osmond Brothers records.
Oh, yeah.
One bad apple. I broke a Donnie Osmond record years ago.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
When you say I broke it, it means you played it first on the radio.
I played it first. No, I was late to work and the guy before me played a Donnie record because he knew I hated him. So I came and said, you know, I always wanted to break one of the Osmond's big hits. So I pulled it off the turntable and snapped it in front of the microphone.
Oh, you really mean you broke it?
Oh, yeah. And my friend who used to own a station in the Bay Area, he was just horrified. He couldn't believe I did that on the air. And I said, yep, don't ever play a Donnie record on my show anymore.
Luis makes a really good point. I know too many people whose retirement plan is to wait for their parents to die and are otherwise doing very little and are a waste of space and not productive.
Yeah.
Okay, but Luis, contrary to that, I will say there's a lot of people who, no matter how hard they work and no matter what they do,
never have
enough money for retirement.
No.
And so are they waiting for their parents to die? Maybe not necessarily, but they're counting on that money. And no one should be, because as Clark said, it's not your money. It's your parents' money to do whatever they want with. But everyone assumes, you know, that parents will leave money to their children.
And don't assume, folks. It doesn't always happen. I'm a living example of that.
Are you? Your parents didn't leave you anything?
I got a few thousand from my mom. My dad left me a $500 diamond ring that my grandfather won in a poker game.
Oh,
that was my inheritance.
But your dad owned car dealerships.
Yes,
and
he did.
Fairly well off, right?
He was fairly well off. Yeah.
Where did all the money go?
Well, some went to my sister. Some went to the grandkids for college. And, you know, I don't know. And the rest of it just went poof.
Because I wonder if it's because he knew you were capable. Like, if you know that a child is, your child is capable in the world, is okay in the world, then you're not worried about that.
No, he told a mutual woman friend of ours, wife of a doctor that had been a customer, good people. And she said, you know what your dad said to me? I said, no. He said, Clark's a big boy. He can take care of himself. And I go, well, Pat, yeah, I am a big boy and I will take care of myself and my three kids and my wife. And I did. So, yeah. But
it's
that, honestly, don't count on the money, folks. You may not be getting it.
Don't count on it. I have a neighbor whose father died and he got almost nothing, but his sister got a lot. And the reasoning was, I would say it's kind of an older mentality of thinking that a man can take care of himself, but the daughter, the woman needs to be taken care of and make sure she's okay, which I completely disagree with. I think you should treat both kids exactly equally.
Well, some ethnic groups and so forth do it differently. I know I had a professor in law school that taught wills and trusts, and he was Chinese American, and he had a little old lady come in and her kids and everything. And she wanted to leave the real estate, which was in San Francisco and worth millions, to the boys, and just the cars and the jewelry and, you know, personal property to the girls, because that's what they did in their culture.
Yeah.
And the girls were just incensed and mad. And he said he had to show them all out of the office and just talk to mama, because he said, it's her will and her money. And she's the client. And he said, I disagree with that. He said, he said some old school, you know, Asian people believe that. And he said the her daughters were just absolutely horrified that they were going to get screwed. And did.
Amazing. So, Randy comments, any decent parent is going to help their kid out if they can. I believe decent parents raise decent kids.
One would hope.
Yeah, I think that's true. I like to, I like to think that that's the way it goes, but I do see Marie Osmond's point still.
I do too. Absolutely. I see that. I mean, I do.
You don't want to raise a lazy entitled brat who doesn't go on to do anything because they're counting on your money.
Exactly.
But I also, I'm hoping that, you know, if I work a lifetime,
yeah,
and I manage to have equity in my home, or I manage to come up with something that I can leave to them, that I didn't work my whole life to, you know, to give it away to, I guess, I don't want to, I don't know. I believe in giving to charity, but I just want to, I guess it's wanting to make sure that your children are okay. And I know that creates generational wealth or what have you.
Yeah, I know.
You do that. I just can't see not leaving money to my money.
Yeah,
to my kids.
And I'm going to do that. Leave what little I have to my, well, I have my home equity, so it's not that little, but I mean, but all of my adult children, they all own their own homes. They all have good jobs. They have 401ks and blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, they're none of them, I don't think, going to be desperate, but yeah, they'll get whatever there is, you know, out of, you know, the proceeds when I'm gone, and I want them to.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, there's this feeling like, and I think it's something we need to get over, but if your parents don't leave you any inheritance and they say in their will, because they have to expressly write you out of it, right? I mean, you have to state that I have this child and I'm choosing to leave them nothing. They have
Best thing to do is what my dad did and leave them a token item like the diamond ring.
Sure.
And that way you can't really attack the will. I mean, that was, he didn't know that, but his lawyer did.
But
you know,
why does it then feel to a child like a slap in the face? Like the, you know, a final injustice or something that, you know, that it's such a normal, natural thing to leave your wealth to your children, to leave them an inheritance, that when it doesn't happen, it's like the final flipping off of the, you know, the final bird, if you will.
Yeah. But again, I've always told my kids, and I said, don't count on it. And they haven't, they've gone out and gotten good jobs and, you know, supported themselves and all that and families. And it's, and that's all cool, you know?
Yeah.
And then whatever they get from, and from their mother who has, you know, some equity and some money and everything. And they know that they'll get whatever they get from, you know, their two parents, and that'll be fine, but they'll be okay without it too, which is good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nice to be able to be okay. And I think that's really the goal. President Biden, we know he's coming to the Central Coast today. Santa Cruz
should have landed around noon, apparently.
Well, Dora says the president just landed in my hometown in Santa Cruz County.
Wow.
All right. So here he is, and he's going to be looking at the damage done to the Central Coast, which is brutal during these storms.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And I know you've probably seen this picture, but I'll try to put it up again really quickly. It's the Capitola Wharf.
Oh, it just
absolutely
got
brutally cracked in half.
Beaten.
Yeah.
And it looked like for a while that Monterey and Carmel were going to become an island.
Yeah.
You know, be cut off. I mean,
There it is. You can see the wharf smashed just, in half.
And the buildings, the color buildings along there are just, you know, all got water in. They're devastated. It's terrible.
But at the end, we can't see where they see the crack and then the part right of the, in the front. There's businesses out there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is bad news. Mark was saying earlier that the damage from flooding and storms in California has now topped the damage from wildfires, which to me is.
Oh, my God. Really? I'd not heard that.
Yeah,
wow.
So President Biden here now in Santa Cruz County to survey the damage, to talk to people, to reassure them that help is coming. They'll be able to rebuild, that we'll be able to do some things.
Yeah.
But when you look at that storm damage in Santa Cruz, I think to myself, we know that, you know, storms are coming again. We know sea levels are rising.
Right.
And what are we going to do when we think about how to spend this money and how to rebuild about places along the coastline like this? You know,
it's
iconic, the look of all those homes right on the beach in Capitola.
Yeah.
But is that safe for those people? Is that okay? Because,
well, especially if that large chunk of ice breaks off from Antarctica, they said it could raise the water level worldwide by 2 feet.
Yeah.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring. Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18
plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Well, that's, you know, it's like bye-bye iconic pretty buildings. I mean, there's
so
no way that
that's
going to
work.
Don't
you think we need to change things? Like, we need to build more seawalls. We need to put things on stilts and footing. And we, you know, we need to secure the coastline from that.
Yeah. I was telling a neighbor, I mean, I live in a townhouse, but I'm a mile from the water. And I was telling a neighbor, I said, you know, if we live long enough, we're on a hill, we may have to sell our cars and get a boat, but we'll have beachfront property.
Knit One Pearl One says it looked like that wharf was in bad shape already. Hadn't been on it since the 80s. I don't know. You know, I've seen it in pictures recently. Mm-hmm. People in that area love that wharf. I have a friend who had a post that every important moment in her life happened there. She posted pictures of her fiance asking her to marry him there, their wedding, where she in her wedding dress with her family in front of the Capitola Wharf sign, then her pregnancy pictures there as well. So there are people that live there that area is a really important part of, you know, their culture and who they are. So I don't know if it was in that bad of shape.
Yeah, I don't know about that either. The seawall thing, though, they've talked about that around some places around the inside of the bay, the San Francisco Bay, because they're low-lying areas and they're going to get flooded out. I mean, and the marshland is fine. You want to keep the marshland, and some of that they've returned to marshland, which is great. But on the other hand, you don't want to lose a bunch of, you know, homes and buildings either if you can help it.
No, but I think we need to find a way to secure our coast and those buildings. And if it looks like you're living in a place that's unsafe, then let's figure out how to move that structure.
And not just the coast, because I mean, like in your area where you live up in the North Bay, and I'm kind of in the North too, but Highway 37 was closed for several days because
it
flooded out.
Pump it out. That's right.
They had all these pumps and they're pumping like crazy, but they couldn't keep up. And it's a low lying area, and it's going to cost a fortune to, you know,
well, there's all kinds of plans that to rebuild Highway 37.
Yeah, I've seen
make it
some
higher.
Of those.
So there are plans to do it, but you see a storm like this come in, and it really kind of underscores why we need to spend that money and do it.
I think my opinion is it would be smarter, and it would be very expensive too, but just to cut a new road north of there, even if you had to pay off some of the wineries and people that own land, a lot of money to get the land and run a highway through there, up a little closer to Novato and, well, closer to Petaluma, really.
Right.
I think you'd be better off doing that in the long run, because this, you can't fight the ocean.
You know what? Mother Nature's always going to win.
That's right.
And so why do we spend all this time? And that's what my worry is. We're going to get all this federal funding and state funding, you know, and I want people to get the help, but I want us to do it in a way that's smart so that we look toward the future and say, okay, are we just going to see the same thing happen again?
Sure.
And if so, what do they say? If you do what you've always done, you get what you've always gotten. So why do it the same way again? Why not go, okay, maybe we need to build it back, build it higher, do something different so that it doesn't happen. It doesn't, you know, get jammed up with ocean water again.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, I think that we've got to be a lot smarter about this when we rebuild.
So, but it's good that the president is here. It's good that the president is in Santa Cruz and letting us know that he cares about us. It's nice. I'm not sure if you saw the story about this guy or if you know who he is, but there is an actor who is missing. Let's see if I can show you the picture. His name is Julian Sands, And he is now listed as a hiker missing in Southern California. His face should look familiar to a lot of people.
He does look familiar. Actually, he looks kind of like Bill Nye, only younger. But yeah, I mean, he does look familiar.
He was in Leaving Las Vegas. He was in A Room with a View. He starred in 24. Mm-hmm. So he's been in a lot. He is a British actor. He was hiking on Mount Baldy.
Oh, really?
His car was found yesterday on the mountain.
Uh-huh.
And he's missing.
Oh,
so
man.
There's a huge search party out for him. And there's been all kinds of rock slides and stuff that happened up there.
Yeah,
so people are really concerned.
Boy,
just last
good.
Week, there was a hiker that died after sliding 700 feet down a mountainside.
Yeah.
The sheriff is saying, look, please, hikers, avoid this whole area.
Yeah, that's dangerous. That's crazy. You don't want to, tempt Mother Nature. That's nuts, I think. Coming back to technology for a minute, that's kind of great. And, the iPhones that came out in September have some satellite connectivity for that kind of hiking emergency and everything.
I have that on my phone. It makes me feel better if I got lost in the wilderness.
And Samsung,
I might be able to,
Samsung is coming out with it on their new phones, allegedly. And then there's another service, which is more connected with Android, that is using a different satellite service than Apple does. But apparently, they're going to come out with one that will actually allow a little bit of texting at a huge extra fee in addition to the emergency thing. So I will probably my phone's 2.5 years old now. Mm-hmm. I'm planning to get the next iPhone in September, but I want the periscope lens because I have grandkids that do gymnastics and I want to be able to zoom in, when they're doing that. So I'm really keen on that, but boy, I do want that emergency calling thing. That's a great feature.
Do you have to pay extra for that? I know it.
No,
I read that it's only for emergencies.
It is only for emergencies. It's not extra. It may, after 2 years, they may add a little fee to it, but for the first 2 years, it's free.
That's pretty cool.
But again, it is only for emergencies, and it's just a little brief thing, hold the phone up in the clearing and it'll hit the satellite. And then apparently goes, the reason they're charging a little eventually is that it goes to a call center. Mm-hmm. Who then contacts the emergency authorities. So they're having to pay some people to do that. So that's why.
That is worth it.
Apparently,
according to the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department, their search and rescue teams have been to 14 rescue missions on Mount Baldy in just the last month.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
So now Julian Sands is missing, and I really hope they find him. There's search parties going on.
Yeah.
They know he's out there. His car's out there.
Mm-hmm.
His son is out there looking for him as well. They're trying to retrace the route that he took, and I really hope they find him.
Yeah, but with the continued rains, that's going to wipe away tracks, too,
and
make it harder to find. Doggone, man.
I'm so glad you brought up that satellite thing, though, because that's the kind of, we hear so many bad things about how we spend so much time on our phones and how our kids are growing up differently and how we're not as social and make eye contact like, normal people used to do, and that everything's different because of technology. But then you get something really good like that. That's the reason that. These are a good thing that we.
Now, if you go for a hike or if you go to the beach and there's an emergency, somebody gets caught in the water and is drowning, or you're hiking and take a spill like this man probably did. That's a great feature to have, I think. It's literally a lifesaver. In fact, right after I can't remember, October, November, after the new iPhones came out, there was somebody that went down. Off the side of a road like that and went down a couple hundred feet, and they were able to call with the emergency calling from the iPhone and get help. Yeah. And the thing can triangulate. You can find find the signal, and they could locate them.
This, by the way, is kind of a conversation we used to have off air in the newsroom, like just kind of talking about stories and what we thought about everything. So it really brings me back to those great relationships at work.
Yeah.
And I could talk to you all day long. I am delighted to have you. And
I'm glad to come and pop in and, hoping that Nikki will, be sprung here in Marley.
Yes.
In the next few hours and can get out of there, because that's no fun. Oh my gosh.
No fun at all. But you have agreed now to do a weekly tech segment with us, and we are delighted to have you, Clark Reed.
Yeah.
Huge love for you. And nice to see your face. And thank you for playing the horn for me today.
Yes, never good to pick it up cold and play like that. But I will show you something before I go.
Okay.
This instrument, you know, is a professional grade instrument. I bought it about early 1970s. It's handmade in Los Angeles and all that jazz. But to give you an idea, I played the same mouthpiece since all that time. Mm-hmm. And I bought this mouthpiece from the fella I was talking about earlier that has the RSV virus and everything. This damn mouthpiece costs as much as the trumpet did back in the 70s.
Why?
It's really good.
Okay.
It will play two notes higher with no extra effort, and it plays better in tune in the octaves than the it actually is an improvement. I was a little skeptical, but it really plays better. It's amazing. Well,
I know the mouthpiece makes a big difference because my daughter has
you've fallen into that. Yes.
And so we were spending all this money on these bamboo reeds.
Reeds, yeah.
And so she decided she was going to try a plastic one.
Oh, she said, interesting. You know,
it sounds price, totally different.
Yeah, yeah.
The sound is different. Everything's different.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, that's why I have, you know, had friends when I was playing all the time that this one guy, he'd have a box, you know, about like, full of, you know, like, I don't know, 15 or 20 reeds, only one or two of which he liked, but he started making his own because they're so damned expensive to buy.
They really are.
And I about fainted when I saw the price of this. I thought, I'm going to try it, you know, because I played the same one for years and everything. And I was pretty surprised, but I guess they should make progress after, you know, all those years too.
But so this many years later, you're still using it. So
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Clark Reed, nice to see you. I'll talk to you soon.
Good to see you, too. We'll talk to you next week or whenever we, you guys, you know, work it out. Let me know.
Awesome. Thanks for hanging out.
Okay. Thanks, Kim. Take care. Bye-bye.
That's Clark Reed. Love that guy. I appreciate him being here on the Nicky Maduro Show. Someone else I really appreciate being here is tax attorney Steve Moskowitz. Yay!
Thanks,
how are
Kim.
You?
I'm doing great.
I know you had, it seemed, sounded last week like you had a little throat thing, and then I heard you coughing. So I'm hoping that you're all healthy and good. Are you all right?
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Okay. I'm glad to hear that.
Taxes keeps me strong.
But you are not, you know, you think of a tax guy, you think of a guy with a visor and a calculator.
The green eye shade.
A little down, you know, doing all that. That's not you. I mean, really not that you're not a numbers guy, but you do a lot more than that. I was talking earlier about how you can help people with their businesses. And, you know, if they're looking for the best insurance to offer their employees, you can handle that. You help with business plans, all kinds of stuff.
And, you know, what I've always told people is that, you know, a lot of people think of the guy with the green eye shade tapping out numbers, and there's plenty of guys around like that. That's not me. And the problem that I have with those guys is they're so into their numbers, they forget about the whole business. They forget the whole person. It's kind of like if you see a physician because, you know, you scraped your knee, he or she may be very good at treating your knee, but if you walk in with an arrow in your head, you'd really say, you know, doc, I was hoping you pay some attention to that too. And we take a look at what people want. For example, if I was representing twin siblings, they were identical in all respects financially, we might come up with two very different plans because they have different beliefs, different wants. And you know, people are individuals. Mm-hmm. And that's why we, you know, old school, talk to you first, find out what's best for you, and then we do it rather than, you know, some cookie cutter plan. Here you go.
Yeah. One of the things I love about you as well is you don't just do the taxes. You talk about strategy. And I think that's so important. And I know there are tax planners out there, but I've heard you talk before about, you know, looking into someone's situation and exactly what's happening with them, and then coming up with different scenarios and ways to kind of figure out the best plan for the future. And like I said, strategies. And I find that fascinating.
That's a major reason why, like, I became a tax attorney. Because remember, when I set foot into law school as a student, I already had a bachelor's and master's degree in accounting. I was already a practicing CPA doing taxes. But I looked at the big companies and also the firm I worked for before they, you know, we took care of the Fortune 500. And I said, look at these companies. They make this incredible money and they're legally not paying taxes. What's the secret? That's why I went to law school.
Yeah,
I didn't want to, you know, be a divorce lawyer or an accident lawyer. I wanted to be a tax lawyer, and I wanted to know, what are these secrets? And I'm sure that businesses much smaller than the Fortune 500 can take advantage of them. That's a major part of the practice.
I feel like it's troubleshooting before there's even trouble.
Just like when you go to a physician, the whole idea of having a regular checkup is to avoid having some horrible problem that needs a big operation mm-hmm. that could have been solved early on with some small procedure.
Yeah. Tax attorney Steve Moskowitz, 888-TAX-DEAL. Also on the web, moskowitzllp.com. And so we appreciate you being the founding sponsor of the Nikki Maduro Show and also of the Mark Thompson Show. You're generous to us, and we couldn't be any more grateful and thankful and also honored to have someone of your caliber here on the show.
The pleasure is mine. Thanks so much to you.
Thank you. Thanks to Steve Moskowitz. Bye. So yes, if you need help with your taxes, Steve Moskowitz is truly the person that can help you out. All right, let's do a little news. Why don't we? And earlier, I mentioned that we might have Mark Curtis on the show. I haven't seen him dial in yet, but Mark Curtis, formerly of KTVU, set to talk some politics with us. So hopefully he'll be here with us. But let's talk of news, because this news is sponsored by tax attorney Steve Moskowitz at 888-TAX-DEAL. Alec Baldwin's lawyer is saying that the actor had no reason to believe that there was a live bullet in the prop gun that killed cinematographer Helena Hutchins on the set of the film Rust. Baldwin was charged today in New Mexico with two counts of involuntary manslaughter for Hutchins' death. Attorney Luke Nikas says his client had no reason to think live rounds were anywhere on that set. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, he says that he is pretty confident that the United States will not default on its death. I'm trying to get a picture of him up here. Mitch McConnell, there he is. Because, you know, I don't want to talk about him unless we can see his very beautiful face. Mitch McConnell, he says, nope, we're not defaulting. His comments made as the U.S. hit its debt ceiling today, prompting the Treasury Department to suspend new investments in some federal retiree funds. McConnell telling reporters in Louisville, Kentucky, Congress will come to a resolution to raise the debt limit before the Treasury exhausts all of its extraordinary measures that are set to happen sometime in June. Oh, I am very hopeful, although it seems to me like maybe we could come up with a different plan instead of continuously raising the debt ceiling. Maybe we could figure out how to work within our means. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. This, of course, is Kevin McCarthy, who interestingly says there will be no more proxy voting in the House. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy announcing today members of Congress will have to show up to work if they want their vote to count. The practice of proxy voting was established by former Speaker Nancy Pelosi in May of 2020 due to the pandemic. McCarthy vowing to end the practice if Republicans captured the majority. And of course, today he's making good on that promise, saying, yep, you know what? If you want to vote in here, you got to be up in here. That is the way that it will go from here on out. And oh, yes, George Santos. I'm telling you guys, every day there's something new with George Santos. Today, New York Congressman George Santos is taking to social media, denying two new allegations against him. One about performing as a drag queen in Brazil. The other about allegedly stealing money that he raised for a veteran's dog that ended up dying because it didn't get the surgery it needed. He tweeted, "The most recent obsession from the media that I am a drag queen or performed as a drag queen is categorically false." The question I have, though, is can we really believe anything he says anymore? I mean, you can say something is false, but it's like the boy who cried wolf. If you, whatever you say, that every time you open your mouth, as you are in this picture, whatever you say, no one's going to believe it anymore. So now when you deny something, what's the point of denying it? Because we're not going to believe you if you say you did it, and we're not going to believe you if you say you didn't. Your word is no longer meaning anything at all. the family of a child accused of shooting his first grade teacher at a Virginia elementary school is out with a statement now claiming the firearm had been properly secured. The family's attorney didn't identify them, but they say they have been cooperating with local law enforcement in Newport News, in addition to the federal government. Meantime, a news outlet, Wavy, W-A-V-Y, reports the family says they're not exactly sure how their six-year-old child managed to get a hold of that gun. Well, the child doesn't get the gun unless the gun is available for the child to get. If you had it in a locked safe, if you had it, a gun lock on it, then what happened wouldn't have happened. So you can come out with your lawyer and say all you want, but there's a reason that kid had the gun. And I hope police actually get to the bottom of that.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Instagram rolling out new features to give users more control over what they see. This includes the ability to hide posts containing keywords of your choice and the option to silence notifications on a customized schedule. The good thing about this is that these new settings will give parents more options when it comes to monitoring their kids' social media activity. And I think when you talk about kids and social media, that's crucial for people to be able to really look and see what's going on with their kids' social media, be able to not only monitor it, but to be able to limit it, you know. So Instagram, I appreciate what you're trying to do there. I still won't let my kid have your program, but I see what you're doing. And I agree. I appreciate it at least for that. I want to talk to you about former Oakland Mayor Libby Schaaf, because she is now the interim executive director of Emerge California. Of course, Oakland Mayor Libby Schaaf has been on the Nikki Medoro show here numerous times, something we're really grateful for. She has always been accessible, and we were kind of waiting to see what would happen with her next step. So she is now the interim executive director of Emerge California, and that is a group that trains Democratic women to run for office. Schaaf recently termed out as mayor in Oakland, leading the organization's training for the class of 2023. What a leader they'll have in her. She is a longtime Emerge California supporter and a class of 2009 alum. She says there needs to be diverse women at the decision-making tables so that all Californians can thrive. Absolutely. I am so glad to see that she is doing this. What a wonderful move for her. I don't know if it's long-term or if just for this year, but what a way to give back. Absolutely amazing. So I don't know if you've seen stories or seen your power bill, honestly, but the power bills are rising. The price of gas, not only gas we put in our car, but natural gas that we use to heat our homes and often cook with, going really way up. And so power bills are skyrocketing. Many Californians now getting help paying past due utility bills. It's because of a second installment of a $1.6 billion automatic debt relief payment was released in November. The first installment paid to utility companies in January of 2022. Anyone who incurred charges and those charges remain unpaid between March of 2020 and December of 2021 qualifies for help through the California Payment Program, or CAP, C-A-P-P. So utility companies have 60 days to put the funds in customers' accounts, which means about 1.5 million California households should see a credit on their utility bills in February. I imagine this mostly helps people that were low income, but also those who maybe just had enough to pay and were caught kind of unawares by what was happening with the price of power. And so I'm glad to see that that's a possibility for people that were getting notices that their power might be turned off or something was going to happen. I want to tell you, there was another story I wanted to tell you about something in ancient Norway. Norwegian archaeologists recovering the world's oldest dated rune stone from 2,000 years ago. CNN reporting they found the inscribed stone while investigating a burial ground in eastern Norway in 2021. This rune stone will be on display at the Cultural History Museum in Oslo this month. So that's pretty exciting. Now, this news report sponsored by tax attorney Steve Moskowitz. For more than 30 years, Steve has put his tax knowledge to work for individuals and for businesses. If you need help with your taxes, Steve Moskowitz is the one to do it for you. 888-TAX-DEAL or MoskowitzLLP.com. You can see it at the bottom of your screen. I'm Kim McAllister on the Nikki Maduro Show. So I appreciate you being here. And again, I want to let you know that you have the ability to help me out if you can. And that would be by clicking on the like button, the little thumbs up there. Just give it a tap. We appreciate that. It helps us on the YouTube situation. And as we try to make a go of this show, we're very grateful for the help. If you would like to financially contribute, you can support the show by going to the website, thenickimadoroshow.com. There is an option there for you to click on Patreon and kick us a little something-something every month. Or you can also go to PayPal and do a one-time donation there. And of course, here on YouTube, the Super Chat is live. You can do it that way as well. So we are grateful for all the help. And again, grateful to Steve Moskowitz as well. Oh, Peg Thompson, thank you so much for doing that. Peg has kicked in. Thank you for the show. Best wishes to Marley. Of course, Marley, Nikki's daughter, who is supposed to be getting out of the hospital today. I hope. But she's suffering from Crohn's disease and kind of had to ease up what was going on in her digestive system, get her back on the right track. It looks like has to have surgery next week. So we'll have to be going back into the hospital. But I am expecting Nikki to be back tomorrow if all goes as planned. And that I hope will happen. I also want to thank Let's see if I can get it up here. Sorry, you guys, I'm trying. That sounded bad, didn't it? Get it up here. Lynn Love, a super sticker for $4.99. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. That is so kind that you would like us enough to donate to the program. And I really appreciate that. Make sure that I didn't miss anybody. If I missed your donation, I'm so sorry. I'm trying to do it all on my own today. But I'm very grateful for the help and very grateful for the support of the show. We thank you very much, Lynn Love, and also Peg Thompson for kicking it in to that. John wants me to put the ancient burial runestone back. He says, I've seen enough movies to know this doesn't end well for any of us. That's true. Don't move the runestone. Don't tamper with anything in the pyramid. Otherwise, you know what's coming next. We don't want it. Celeste, thank you so much. She's upping her Patreon payment. Love you too. It's always better when Nikki's here because we have more of a conversation, which is why I'm so grateful to Clark Reed for coming on the show as well. But thank you for your support. We'll get back to it, do our normal stuff. I really am grateful for that. And Celeste is thanking them as well. So we appreciate it. Thanks, Nick, for the support. I appreciate you as well. You know, like I said, it's always better when Nikki's here. I love our camaraderie and friendship. So, but here it is, and we're making it work. And I thank you all for being here. I'm really grateful for that. Let's talk a little bit about PG&E. Because they said something kind of laughable, I'll tell you about. So they're doing something nice, I guess you could say, which is, trying to find the story, preserving this tree. There was uproar that this tree, this kind of historic, iconic 120-foot ponderosa pine in Mendocino County, was going to have to be cut down. So activists went out, chained themselves to this tree, which had a nesting pair of bald eagles in it. And now PG&E is backing off of that. And they're saying, okay, maybe we won't cut it down right now. So there was outrage from the Pomo, Native American Pomo tribe, the Coyote Valley of Pomo Indians, is what they say, after a pair of bald eagles were observed to have returned to the tree in recent weeks. So they were not happy. This tree is on private land. It sits in Potter Valley in Mendocino County, and it was permitted for removal. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service was allowing PG&E to come out and cut it down, even though since the 1990s, it has been a nesting place for bald eagles. So Peter Galvin, is the director of programs for the Center of Biological Diversity. He says chopping down a historic nest tree should never be the first option, especially since bald eagles have returned for the breeding season here. A multi-billion dollar company has the means and ability to avoid this reckless act if it wanted. This tree is on ancestral Pomo territory. The tribe has been trying to talk to the government and say, don't cut it down. We want it to stay. It's a symbol for us. It's culturally significant. These birds are as well. And so they don't want that at all. You say, we ask no harm occur to this tree during consultation because we need time to explore reasonable solutions that will help us protect our bald eagle relatives. Okay. So PG&E says this dying tree is a fire risk. They say that a nearby power line has been de-energized, but now it looks like they're reversing their decision to remove this tree. So it seems like people coming out in support of it, rallying around it, trying to fight against that has pushed them back into saying, okay, we're going to leave the tree there. They say they're pausing their vegetation management that would even impact the nest around this area. But here's the funny part about what they have to say. PG&E will not take chances with public safety, they say. Really? You won't take chances with public safety? Oh, okay. So that means in San Bruno, you didn't take chances with public safety? All right. And that means that with wildfires and sparking power lines, you didn't take chances with public safety? Okay, I see what you're saying. The company says they're coordinating now with the property owner to complete vegetation work. They've identified this dead tree as a hazard risk of falling and striking power lines and a high fire threat. So they've de-energized the overhead lines in that area. They say the company will work closely with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on a resolution once these eagles are no longer in the area or have determined not to nest at this location. Meanwhile, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife say they are now pulling the permit for this nesting tree, and they're putting it on hold at least for this nesting season. But I just, you know, the audacity to say, and maybe now PG&E going forward can say from here on out, we put public safety first. But the egregious things that have happened, the loss of life and property, saying that you put public safety first. I don't know. Now, are they trying to take out this tree because they think it's a threat to public safety? Yes, but it looks like there's a workaround. You know, maybe they could put underlined power in this area so they don't have to take down the trees and everything else. So Verizon, let's see some comments here. Andrew says Verizon doesn't take chances anymore with emergency persons. I don't know. Portions Redacted, that's a great name, says PG&E sucks. Solar customers shouldn't have to pay for their bad choices. I completely agree with that. And it looks like to me, we should be supporting solar and people putting solar, not charging people more for it. That is something that has bothered me a lot about all this. Knit One Pearl One says they can put supports up for the tree. I know one Eagle Live Cam tree had a branch secured. PG&E lies. Bleep them. If the tree has to go, it has to after any chicks have fledged. Yeah, the thing is, if they come back year after year, then, I mean, yes, for this year, that's great. And I mean, will they find another tree? Maybe. But if this tree, 120-year-old ponderosa pine, is a symbol to the people that live there and the birds, the bald eagles, have used it year after year, why can't some other solution be found? Unless it's really dying, decaying, and falling down, right? So, yeah. Portions Redacted also saying, I thought they were going to put the lines underground. They've been running tons of commercials on it. Yes, it's true. In some areas, they're supposed to. I know they're doing it in the Sierra. They're doing it in high wildfire-prone areas. They're supposed to be. Super expensive to do, but it seems to me like the best solution. And I don't know who wants to see live, you know, power lines running overhead anyway. It seems like in California, that should be the way it is. Yeah. Knit One Pearl One, don't bald eagles nest for years in the same nest? protect the birds. I'm not sure about their breeding patterns, but it seems like they're coming back every year. So I would definitely want to. PG&E, put solar on my roof and pay me. Oh, I just woke up. Yeah, that was a dream. You're dreaming. PG&E wants your money. They want all the money, and they're going to do whatever they can to get it. Want to thank Brian Viewed for kicking into the show. $19.99 from Brian. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Much so, because we can't do what we're doing without that. And even though Nikki's not here, it's really important to support her as well, especially during this time. So I'm grateful for that. And on behalf of Nikki, thank you. Thank you for that very much. Andrew also says a lot of first responders when Santa Rosa was on fire were Verizon users and had no access to the network. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's good. Colleen writes, trees fall all the time and animals find new homes. You're right. But if they don't have to, then shouldn't they? And just PG&E in general, you know, now touting safety when for so long, it seems like they've ignored it and put profits first. So Colleen also says you can't ask for buried cables and then complain about price hikes. No, but I can say, Colleen, and I appreciate what you're saying there. I'm willing to pay more for buried cables. But I also think that all of the money that PG&E had that was supposed to go to upgrading their systems and to making things safer over the years, it seems like it really went to shareholders instead. They are years behind doing what they should have been doing. So now you raise the price hikes, now you do everything, and every time they're fined for something egregious like San Bruno or wildfires or what have you, they turn right around and they put that cost back onto ratepayers. So I don't really feel sorry for PG&E as far as their finances, because it seems like they're always going to get us one way or another. But I do appreciate it, Colleen, when you say you can't ask for underground cables and then not be willing to pay more. I think a lot of us, especially in areas that have seen wildfire devastation, would be the first to say, you know, put an extra whatever it is, $5-$10 a month on my PG&E bill to pay specifically for that. But I don't trust PG&E to, if they did that, to use that money for that. I think they take money and they give it to their shareholders. And I think they have consistently shown that they don't do what they say they're going to do, and they don't do what we expect of them. So you can hear my disdain for PG&E. I'm not going to try to hide it. I've covered enough stories where they're clearly at fault, and it makes me sick. So there you have it. Neighbors of our friends in Germany are forbidden from using their wood stove because some storks build a nest on their chimney, and storks are a protected species in Germany. But then, though, I guess the people are going to be chilly all winter. Find something else to do. Eric says it's not the best solution. Loretta, her name is Laura Lynch, said they could recover the lines in many areas for pennies, but PG&E makes much more burying the lines. Make much more by burying the lines. Okay. Knit one, purl one. When trees fell many years ago, there was a lot more for the birds and animals to find new homes. The environment has shrunk. Ron talking about those funds went to shareholder dividends and executive bonuses. The shareholders should have gotten wiped out. I feel like that's true. I feel like if you invest in a company that doesn't do its job properly, then the company should suffer, the shareholders too, not the ratepayers who were not at fault in any way, shape, or form. Knit one, purl one, we're paying for the lawsuit payouts. Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing. Nick writes, that's precisely why utilities should not be publicly traded. Mm-hmm. And Andrew, again, is Loretta available to comment? Let's crowdfund her to get something done. Loretta Lynch is awesome. Of course, you remember her from Pat Thurston's program. She was always amazing she was the former California Public Utilities Commission director, and really has been the only one who has stood up for ratepayers and stood up to hold utilities accountable. So we'll see what we can do getting her on the show. Loretta Lynch is her name. Yes, that is true. So thank you for all your comments and your donations. I so appreciate you being here on the Nikki Maduro Show. I don't know what happened to Mark Curtis, but hopefully we'll get him on the show eventually. Also some, let's get one more comment in here because it looks like a good one. They keep saying they're fixing things, but they pay themselves. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. You just said it very much more clearly. They say they want more money to do what they were meant to do before. Right. So keep throwing money at the problem, and then keep throwing more money at the problem, and then more money after that, and still the lines are not underground. So there it is. PG&E go to prison, Calvin Wong. So you can see that a lot of people are frustrated like I am with PG&E, and that's that. So thank you for being here on the Nikki Maduro Show today. We did not hear from Nikki, and I hope that means that her daughter is getting out of the hospital. All of your well wishes for Marley and for Nikki have just touched me so much. I'm so thankful for all of you. You're so kind, and I love our community here on this show. And Mark's show too, of people that show kindness and regard for each other. I'm very grateful for that. I will be back tomorrow, and I will have some guests on the show. Hopefully we'll get Mark Curtis on, looking at getting comedian Joe Klosek on as well, and Kevin Avery, who is a big time writer in Hollywood. All of these things are in the works, and I hope to bring them to you. And Nikki will probably be back tomorrow as well. So please join us for the Nikki Maduro Show starting at noon, right after the Mark Thompson Show. Again, thank you for the thumbs up. We appreciate the thumbs up and all the like that you give us, and the super chats and your Patreon contributions. Very grateful to you for everything. That, my friends, is the Nikki Maduro Show. So let me see if I can get back to Jacob and play you his little song.
Nikki, you're all so awesome, you're sprout, like a beautiful blossom, you're all so the best, I really can't rest, you're all so awesome.
Wow, okay.